Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, she's on there.
Greetings, we're live.
Good evening, everybody. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. How y'all doing?
I'm fine. How you feel?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. This is Len Fitch coming to you from New York City.
And Henrietta in Chicago.
Debbie Thomas from Brooklyn, New York.
And Jill in Atlanta.
And this is Liz Tompkins, Reverend Liz Tompkins in Chicago as well.
Great. And welcome everybody in the listening office. In the office, did you hear me? I'm still at work. In the listening audience, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And you're on with Jerry, Gio, Glenn, and Henrietta. Clara and Chitasha are out there somewhere, as we know, traveling around, and we'll hear from them probably later on in the show. Tonight we are continuing a conversation about relationships, and tonight we have a wonderful guest who's going to share with us what the Bible says about relationships, and she's going to give us a metaphysical approach to interpreting the Bible and what it says about relationships. As usual, before we do anything in the summit, we always start with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And so we'll begin with that. And this, you know, we'd like for everybody just to really take a listen to what the summit is, what our conversation is in the International Black Summit, and see where you find yourself in this declaration. And it goes like this. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and
hello.
Yes.
I think we lost Henrietta.
Yes.
Yes, I had a little pause there as well.
Okay, so our conversation about and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity. With the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, North, South, East, West. A moment of silence, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Oh, you're welcome. Back to you, Henrietta.
Okay. Thank you. Tonight, we would like for you to, when you get a moment, go to blacksummit.org and register for the International Black Summit annual event held here in Chicago, August 4th through the 7th. And the website will tell you all about it. It will tell you about the prerequisite. It will tell you about the summit shares. You can register now. You can pay as you choose. You put some money down now. You pay every week if you want to. You can put it all down at one time, however it's comfortable for you. But make sure you register so that we know that you are coming and we can prepare for your being here. Join the conversation this year in Chicago. There's a summit share tomorrow here in Chicago from 1 to 3, and that summit share is taking place at TNT Foods, 3824 South Morgan. TNT Foods, 3824 South Morgan. And if you check in your community, there should be a summit share going on. There's also several virtual summit shares that are taking place that you can find out about on the website as well. And, Jill, you all had in Atlanta, you all had one yesterday, didn't you?
We sure did. We had one yesterday, and we had about 14 people. It was wonderful. We had a great time yesterday.
Yeah, so...
We're going to have one. It's ours. Atlanta will have a share every third Saturday of the month. And to go on to find out where and the contact person, you can go to our website, blacksummit.org.
Okay. What about New York, Jerry?
I see that there's a New York.
Huh?
Yeah, I see there's a New York City prerequisite course on March 19th, and that's Saturday. And there's also a New York prerequisite April 30th. And, of course, we have our event in August. And all that is on the web.
Okay, that's great. And if you don't see your community listed or something that's close enough, you can send us some information, you know, via the website at blacksummit.org and let us know that you want a summit share in your area or that you want a prerequisite in your area. But you can contact us through our website at blacksummit.org. There's a men's virtual summit coming up, I think. And that's something that I understand was very, you know, the men are like really, really excited about that. But what a summit share is a gathering where people come together and they talk about their experiences of the annual event over the years. You know, when you go to the website, you'll see a list of the different declarations or the questions that we leave the annual event with every year, and that you'll see how interesting they are along with the declaration and what the summit is and what's provided attending and participating in the summit, okay? You'll see some of the distinctions listed there as you'll hear on the program tonight. But we again invite you to blacksummit.org to register for the International Black Summit, and you can register without paying right now. So, you know, just let us know that you're coming and join us here on the talk show every Sunday, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Any other announcements? Okay, so we will get started. And to introduce to you all a very, very good friend and colleague of mine. We call her the Bible-toting lady. But, you know, you can't tell by looking at her that she's a Bible-toter, but she's a Bible-toting sister. But she has a different approach to understanding the Bible. And I won't take up any of her time. We'll just get started with her. This is Reverend Liz Tumpkin. And, Liz, your hosts tonight are Jill from Atlanta, Jerry from Brooklyn, New York, and Glenn from Queens, New York.
Good evening to you all. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, this is a new experience for me. Not the Bible, per se, but I've never been on a radio talk show.
Let's relax with it. It's just like having a conversation with some friends. We have a lot of fun. And Liz, one other thing before you start is that we always do Kwanzaa year round on the summer, on the International Black Summit, and every Sunday for us is Black History Sunday. And so there's two things that I just want to mention. We always do a Kwanzaa principle that relates to whatever we're talking about. And Jerry will give us that Kwanzaa principle a little later on. And this particular week, we're celebrating the former leader of the talk show team, which is Clara Lyons Devine. And so we celebrate Clara every chance we get, because we love her so much and she's done so much for the team, talk show team, and she's on hiatus right now, but we just want to send Clara some love before we get started, and we'll do it again a little bit later. So I'll start by asking you a question, Leah. If when we talk about a metaphysical approach to the Bible, can you just explain to the listeners exactly what that means? Did we lose her? Liz? Okay. Gil, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
What is her name? Is her number 955?
Yes.
Okay, she's on.
Okay, Liz?
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can. We couldn't hear you a moment ago.
Okay, I had a little technical difficulty there.
No problem. We're used to that.
Great. I did hear you mention that you start out with a Kwanzaa principle, and then that's when the technical difficulty came in. So after that, I didn't hear anything.
Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit in the show. But my question to you is, if you could explain why a metaphysical approach, you know, why not just read the Bible? Why is there a different approach? You know, what is this metaphysical approach to the Bible about?
Well, the metaphysical approach to the Bible actually allows one to go behind the letter of the Bible, because behind the letter of the Bible actually lie the ideas and meanings, which are the real word of the Bible. I don't know how many people are familiar with the term metaphysical and or allegorical, but for those that aren't, that's just another way of saying that we approach the Bible from an inter meaning, inner meaning, pardon me, as opposed to the literal or the fundamental point of view. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. So when we talk about relationships, you know, we've been in this conversation about relationships, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago we got into this conversation about whether relationships were stress relievers or stress enhancers, you know, and we're kind of moving along that same. How would the Bible help us understand that from a metaphysical approach?
Well, I was up under the impression that since this is the month of February, that mm-hmm. we would be talking about what the Bible has to say about love in terms of a relationship. Am I correct?
That's perfect.
That's perfect?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. So there, that being the case, from a metaphysical aspect, we see love as the attractive force that draws our good to us according to the depths and the strength of our realization of love. So in other words, it's like the scripture says, in order for me to have friends, I must show myself friendly. The same principle would then apply to love. If I want to have love depicted in my life, then I must be loving. In other words, everything starts with the individual first. And then proceeds outward. I can't love anyone outside of myself, in essence, if I don't love myself first, because I couldn't recognize what love is. I have no awareness of love. Oftentimes we say that God is love, but there are many people that aren't familiar with God as love because of some of the extenuating circumstances that prevail today. And so they ask the question, well, how could God be love if God allows certain situations to occur? So we have to know what love is.
Okay.
In other words, the love that I'm familiar with, and hopefully I can get our listening audience tonight to become familiar with as well, is a love that harmonizes, a love that we consider in my teaching, which is New Thought, an idea of universal oneness. In other words, the love that binds and attracts and cements and unifies and equalizes and harmonizes, and all of those aspects in terms of a relationship need to be prevalent. In other words, if I'm in a relationship, then I need to be devoted to that particular relationship. I need to exert kindness. I need to be unselfish. I need to also be a tender, compassionate person. I need to exercise cooperation, and I must have goodwill in order for me to actually focus and be the love that is spoken about in the Bible. When we say God is love, then the kind of love that God gives to each and every one of us is not a human quality. Instead, it is a spiritual quality. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. We're with you. We're listening.
So, in essence, God's love is unconditional. God loves us not because of, but rather in spite of. God is always loving us, unlike ourselves. We have a tendency to overlook what's called the agape love, and we tend to focus in on two other planes of love, which are called eros and philo, which is actually taken from the city of Philadelphia. Everyone on this phone conversation tonight is exercising the third type of love, because that's a sisterly, brotherly love. The other love, eros, is a love where I love you because you have a great house that I can come to and spend the weekend, especially if it's cold like it generally is in Chicago. I can come and in a warm climate, and you have a pool in the backyard and all of that, and I love you because of what I can see physically. However, the kind of love that we should strive to accomplish in our life is agape love, which is unconditional. And when we talk about love in terms of relationships, or even love in terms of the Bible actually is God's love letter to each and every one of us. It's the one way, in essence, that God loves us so much that God communicates his plans and purposes for our life via the Bible. And so when we take the Bible from a metaphysical aspect and not just literally, then we begin to recognize certain key codes in the Bible. Did that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. You said codes, right?
Yes. There are three key codes to unlocking the Bible. If you read the Bible, you will find, first of all, that there are proper names in the Bible. And in our teaching, we teach that every proper name reveals a state of consciousness. We also teach that name means nature or the essential character of an individual. Then you have places that are visited in the Bible. For example, you might read where someone is traveling to a particular land. And so you might see that that person came from a nomadic state, like the Hebrews in the Old Testament, before they became city dwellers. You also might see, especially when you get to the Gospels and you see Jesus always going up into the mountain. So metaphysically, whenever you see someone traveling into a particular land, land metaphysically means consciousness. And consciousness is our awareness. It's the sum total of everything that we've experienced. And so as we elevate, our consciousness unfolds at different levels, and that's what's depicted in the Bible when you see someone traveling from one location to another location. I mentioned that many times before the Hebrews became city dwellers, they lived in a tent. So whenever you see tent in the Bible, that means metaphysically that the person is experiencing a temporary state of awareness. It's not a permanent location. And finally, I mentioned about the Gospels, and I mentioned about Jesus going up into the mountain. Whenever we see mountain in the Bible, it reflects an exalted state of consciousness. Are you with me?
Okay, I'm with you. So can you explain then relationships in the Bible? and how we can take the, you know, the, some of the stories about the relationships in the Bible and have them, you know, have a deeper meaning for us.
I'll certainly do the best that I can, and I'll try and relate to stories in the Bible where the audience basically has not in-depth knowledge, let's say, but they have some knowledge of these particular characters that I'm going to talk about. For example, most people from Sunday school to day present know about David and Bathsheba. Am I correct? Hello?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we learned about David in Sunday school because we know that David killed the giant Goliath. Now, in Sunday school, we didn't get too much involved with David's relationship with Bathsheba. But we know that David was involved in a relationship with Bathsheba as we grew in our studies with the Bible. So if we were to metaphysically define David, in terms of love, does not represent the agape love. David represents love in human consciousness. In other words, David had to grow in his consciousness in terms of love. David had the kind of love that looks on the external. And whenever your love is not accompanied with wisdom, then you have some difficulties. Another point that I wanted to bring out is the fact that men, or the male gender in the Bible, metaphysically represents wisdom or thinking, where the females in the Bible represent your feeling nature. And so in order to have a proper relationship, you should always accompany your love with wisdom, because love will sometimes get you in trouble, like it did David, for those of us that are familiar with the story of David. So when we have a relationship that's for our highest good, then we want to always exercise love from God's viewpoint. And that would not be to put to death someone's husband so that you and I could have a relationship. Any comments on that?
Well, Henrietta, we've got a couple of people with their hands up, so let me know when you'd like to break them in.
Okay. Liz, do you want to? Okay, let's take the questions now. Is that okay? Are you at a point, Liz?
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, Glenn.
Caller 404-281, go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hey, this is Edward, and I hit the button by an error, but I'm fine.
Okay. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Caller number 973-856, go ahead, you're live on the air.
Yes, my name is Rasul Amin, Independent Ministry, How to Put the Neighbor Back in the Hood. And I'm calling from East Orange, New Jersey. And
all right.
What I wanted to basically say first is that my program is about a relationship development between people of different faiths and backgrounds to focus on community life, not to debate about religion. Strictly community life, try to put the neighbor back in the hood. My question is to the lady who is speaking, I didn't catch her name, She was talking about metaphysics and allegory in scripture. So what I like to ask her is this. In other words, when you read scripture, there's a couple of different meanings to scripture. So if I were to say that when we say that Jesus was born from a woman named Mary, is it possible that that woman Mary was a community and that Jesus was a word that came out of that righteous community, that environment?
When I would we talk agree about, with that.
When we
I
talk
would
about,
agree with that.
Okay. Now, when we talk about Adam and Eve, are we talking about Adam as the first physical creation of God, or is he the first conscious creation that recognized that there was a creator? And Adam and Eve, do they represent a type of people or society, or are they just individual physical people? And one other comment. When they say that Adam and Eve walked in the garden and they looked and saw that they were naked, are they talking about that they were physically naked, or that the nakedness was the righteousness, the consciousness of God that they didn't have on each other? And you said something about what man means. I was always taught and related to what you said, that man means mind, and the woman is the womb of the mind. So am I, if I can take this the way I see it, am I incorrect in my view of how I look at scripture? Because I don't take scripture allegorical either, and it has helped me better in my life in terms of looking at the principle behind it. Because when we talk about prophets and messengers from Adam to Jesus to Muhammad, they're all in me. There's a principle that resides in us. And many of us have got stuck on the physical stories of scripture, and this is one of the reasons why we are messed up in our communities, our churches, our mosques, our synagogues, and I think we have to come back on track. Thank you so much.
Well, now that was a lot of information to respond to. I'm going to try and approach some of those concerns. Very interesting, and I would say that the young man was really on point in terms of what he wanted to know. The Bible is taken as a community of faith. And the fact that the Bible is God's message to each of us about love as a community, if we looked at the Bible from a loving aspect and we treated our neighbors in our community with love, then there would be peace and love and compassion in that community. In other words, I would do like, I think I might be the oldest person on this line. I'm not sure. But when I was growing up in the community, everyone in the community looked out for one another. We sat down at a certain time and we ate and we fellowshiped together. We couldn't go to the show or do anything unless we first went to church. After we went to church and got that spiritual fulfillment of spiritual food, then we could do these other things. So it's very difficult to have a community and not, if you want love and not know what love is all about. That's one part. One part that I think the young man was saying that kind of was a little confusing to me was when he asked the question about the prophets and that being within him. And he said he didn't view it from an allegorical point of view. But I believe that he does look at it from an allegorical point of view, because when we talk about prophets in the Bible, and he named a few, a prophet is a messenger of God assigned to a particular job, which is to relate instructions to the people of God. And so when we talk about people, metaphysically, we talk about our thoughts. So if we are in tune to God and in alignment, like a radio station with no static, then God will relate what it is that we need to know so that we in turn can relate it to those around us. In other words, it has been said that oftentimes you're the only Bible or you're the only Christian or you're the only God-like person that a person can see. And so if God is love and if we are created in and after the likeness of God and we reflect love, then the community that we live in should be reflective of that love as well. And I'll take it a step beyond that because everything begins in the home and then spreads out to the community. Are you with me?
Yes.
Did that answer your question?
Let me put him back on and let him answer that. Go ahead, brother. You're back on the air, 973.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're back here.
Yes. Thank you for your response. I just wanted to say when I mentioned about the allegorical, that meaning a picture story or like metaphysics, when I said when we talk about prophets and messengers, actually my name, Rasul, means messenger. It also means one who likes to talk. And I do that in the streets of my community. So I work with the gangbangers and all kinds of different things. But my point is, when Jesus said, you'll do greater works than me.
Yes.
Also, every tub shall set on its own bottom. No barrel burden shall bear the burden of another. You shall carry your own cross. See, so when we talk about Adam, we're talking, and when we say Adam, where art thou, that's male and female. That's what we said, name them Adam. We're talking about the principles that are in all of us. See, this is one of the things that happens. If we see prophets and messengers on a level that we can't get to as individuals and our principles and our spirit and our soul, this is why we have so many followers and not enough leaders. We are all leaders in the creation of the Creator. The mankind is the best of creation. So it's in us to emulate them and what they did. That's why there's so many stories in Scripture that can relate to any one of us and, you know, what we went through in life and things that we, you know, been through. So,
yes.
So
that's the reason why we should not take the Bible literally. And
right.
When you talk about Adam prior to Adam exercising his right of choice is the divine sonship, the divine idea from God. But God does not create robots. God gives each and every one of us the power of choice. So when we talk about Adam was told what not to do because if Adam did disobey, then the result of Adam's disobedience, which was Adam's own choice, caused Adam to not physically die, but fall in consciousness or in his awareness of the divine. In other words, he entered into a duality. No longer was Adam's eye single. Adam entered into God and. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So that we just take a moment. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you're listening to a conversation with our listeners and the Reverend Liz Tumpkin. And what we're talking about tonight is another level of understanding the Bible, the metaphysical level of understanding the Bible. Our focus is on relationships and the relationships that are in the Bible and how we can understand them at a deeper level so that they make sense to us. And one of the examples that was given by Reverend Lewis was David and Bathsheba. And so if you could tell that story shortly and then tell us the metaphysics of that story so that we could get, you know, get that understanding and any other, like, familiar story about relationships that we might be able to get, like, what it says literally and then what the metaphysics of it is. I think, well, that's a question that I have. But you know what? There was another, and I don't want to overlook that caller. Glenn, you have one more caller?
No, we're good.
You're good? Okay. So if we could, Reverend Liz, if you could just go over that, please, if you don't mind.
With regards to David and Bathsheba's relationship?
Right, if you could tell the story, because everybody might not know that story.
All right, I'll try and be as brief as I possibly can and in order to not to confuse persons, because I don't know how many people are really, really acquainted with the esoterical or the inner meaning or the metaphysical or the allegorical.
Right. Or it could be another story. It doesn't have to be that one, whichever one. But just so we deal with the relationship, you know, the ones that will help us with relationships.
Right. You have many, many stories in the Bible that reflect relationships. Another story that that we might be familiar with from childhood is the story of Samson and Delilah. That's another story about a relationship, and it's a very, very good metaphysical story with a deep inner meaning in terms of, like, the movie What's Love Got to Do with It? Because when we talk about Delilah from a metaphysical point of view, I mentioned that females represent the compassionate part of us, the feeling nature. But in this case, Delilah, in addition to that feeling part of us, she also represents sensuality. We also have to take into consideration races of people. Delilah was a Philistine woman, and Philistines in the Bible are those forces within us which are foreign to spirit and opposed to all spiritual discipline. And so when you think in terms of Samson and you think in terms of what Samson means metaphysically, Samson represents a consciousness of strength under spiritual discipline. So right then and there, you are going to have a relationship that is not going to work well at all. If you went to your Bible, you could find the story of Samson and Delilah in the 16th chapter of Judges, in particular verses 4 and 5. And so Samson, he was given his strength by God. Now, a lot of people think that his strength was in his hair, but God gave Samson the strength, and if you read the story, to overcome the Philistines, because the Philistines, like I said, was opposed to spiritual discipline. So as long as Samson kept his mind stayed on God, like the scripture says in Isaiah 26:3, he would be in perfect peace. But Samson had this infatuation for Philistine women. And so when we talk about a relationship, we need to know that in this particular case, that we should never allow anyone, no matter how convincing or attractive, to entice us into doing something that we know is wrong, which is actually the story of Samson and Delilah. And a life application lesson that we can learn from this particular story about a relationship is that we need to be careful to place our trust in people who are trustworthy before we confide in them. Because if you recall the story, Samson, he was a riddler, and so he gave Delilah these riddles, but he never did actually initially tell her the secret of his strength, but then she enticed him. So we see that he had a lustful love for this lady called Delilah. And as a result, he subsided, and then he confided in her, and then he met his demise. So we can learn that we need to have a relationship with an individual that's trustworthy. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, it does. Let me go back to Glenn or to Jill and to see if there's any, are there any questions on the switchboard? And if you have questions, push the number one button on your phone and it will raise your hand and we'll see that you have a question for us.
Yes, so far.
We have no questions.
Yep.
Okay.
Back to you.
Okay. So when we talk about what the Bible says about relationships, what you're saying is that we can go and we can find, if I'm correct, what you're saying is that the metaphysics of the stories actually tell us the real meaning, the underlying meaning of a particular story. And so the Samson and Delilah story is a story about two people who are in a relationship for two different reasons.
Yes.
And they represent two different types of love.
Yes.
Okay. And so what is it? Well, I guess you've already said it, that we just need to make sure that when we go into relationships, that we are going into relationships with someone who is trustworthy, or what I got out of the story is somebody who's on the same page that you're on.
That's a good condensing. I would say also that we don't need to allow greed and money to persuade us, because in that particular story, Delilah, she utilized her beauty to entice Samson. And when the rulers of that time came to Delilah, they offered her some money to betray him.
Okay.
So she took them up on their offer, because she saw those gold chains.
She saw the gold chain. Are you still there? Are we still on?
Yes. You see, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jerry. I can't hear Liz.
She dropped off, Henrietta.
Okay. Okay, so this, I guess, is a good time for us to remind you that this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we're having a conversation tonight about relationships in the Bible and what those relationships are really telling us, the underlying meaning of the relationships that are in the Bible. One of the things that we do here is we always every week work with the Kwanzaa principle, so that we celebrate Kwanzaa all year long, as well as our Black history. So, Jerry, can you share the Kwanzaa principle that we're working with this week?
Okay. The name of the Kwanzaa principle is Kuumba. And in parentheses, mean creativity. And it says,
to do away as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our communities more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And I was just thinking about that in relationship to, you know, to what Reverend Liz was saying, that, you know, when we go into relationships, period, and we go into relationships with the right, intent, right meaning what we know is good for everyone involved. You know, that's what I mean when I say right, because I'm sure everybody who goes into a relationship for whatever reason they go into it feels that they're doing it for the right reason, even if it is for money. That might be the right reason for them, but just to know the consequences. And when you talk about it in terms of that Kwanzaa principle, Kaumba, what is it, you know, like, what is it doing for you as an individual? Because what it does for you as an individual being in a particular relationship also determines what you do for your community. So it's interesting because, you know, you never really think about going into a relationship to better your community. You really, you know, or I should say I don't. I think of, you know, I mean, certain colleagues or whatever, but when you talk about relationships bettering your community, it makes it kind of larger than just it just being about the two people. So that's a, you know, that's another way to look at it. Gio?
We actually have the brother is raised his hand again. Let me put him back on.
Okay. Wait, did we get Liz back on?
Oh, hold on a second. Go ahead, brother 973-856.
Yes, I did have another question, but she's not on. So I'd like to ask a question to the host, the sister that was just speaking. She brought up a good point because I wanted to know what she's talking about when we say relationship. Were we just talking about like male-female marriage relationship, or are we talking about relationship as a whole? And I think she touched on that when she said the relationships that you establish and then into community life. That's so important because what happened with me was, like, me and my wife raised 5 sons and 2 daughters. I'm 51 years old. Just as a little humor, I kissed her on the side of the cheek when she was 7 years old. We grew up on the same street, and we're still together. so we're like one soul. But my point is, when I started my independent ministry, How to Put the Neighbor Back in the Hood, I started it in my home, and my wife was right there with me, full support, and we met every Tuesday night, and we dealt with issues and concerns in the community in terms of we're talking about relationships. And then what I did was I took it to the streets. Now, what I found out is by me having the 5 sons, my youngest is 19, my oldest is 34, I know a lot of young men that have no fathers. And so we have to see them as our children, as our sons, and our daughters also. And what we have to do with Adam, we say, Adam, where art thou? Yes, where is he? What has happened to him? We don't see him out here in the community. And we have to spend some time with them because they want to hear what you got to say, and they want somebody to talk to. So one of the things I've done is on Saturdays, we'll go to the park, and what we do is we'll work out, we'll box, okay? And then we'll go get something to eat, and we'll spend time with them, not to make them fight as a boxer, but bring the hands up, put the guns down. It's the point is spending time with them. And then on Sunday, we take them, and we give a lecture on our history from the time we got off the slave ships up until today. Because these youth out here, you know the term, God said there's going to be a famine in the land. Not talking about food, but hearing the word of the Creator that reaches your natural ability. But that's what's going on. We live in an oppressive word environment. The rapper Lil Wayne, he came out with an album and sold 1 million copies in a week. I'm not a human being. That is a dangerous language to put out here to a people that's not thinking. So we have to change the language. We have to get involved and then, you know, just move forward. But it is definitely dealing with this relationship situation. I'm sorry I can't quote many scriptures to you in terms of relationships and things of that nature. It's just that, you know, my naturalness has, through the Creator, has blessed me to just know how to do the right thing. It's just like when we came out the wombs of our mother and went to her breasts for milk, no minister told me that. I didn't read no book. When I looked at the apple tree that gives apple or the orange tree, or the tree that gives shade, I see that represents charity. I don't just see a tree with fruit on it. So we have to get back to nature, too. Read nature, follow the best within ourselves, and we can go on and make things happen.
That's a very good analogy that you gave in terms of everything that is that you said, young man. And I'd like to say that you don't have to quote scripture because quoting scripture does not make one knowledgeable of the Bible itself. When you are able to take the words off of the pages, digest them, and live them, then you come into the relationship that you said about all the examples that you gave. I like the word that you use, famine, because from a metaphysical aspect, the word famine means a lack of faith in God's power to prosper. So if you want your neighborhood to prosper in terms of bringing up youth, since they are the wave of the future, then you must heal the land of the famine mentality.
Exactly.
Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
exactly.
So hold your, because I knew this was going to happen, and we have 2 minutes. I need everybody to please get a pencil and write down this phone number. We are about to end this segment and move into the oxygen room. The oxygen room is a number that you call, and it has an access code. And I need everyone to please write this number down because this show is going to end in 2 minutes and we will move to the oxygen room. So, Jerry, could you give us the number, please?
This is Glenn, 218-862-6420. Let me repeat that, 218-862-6420. And the access code is 797-4834 pound. Access code again, 797-4834 pound.
Okay, and repeat the number one more time, Glenn, please.
218-862-6420. Access code is 797-4834 pound.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I really apologize for interrupting so abruptly, but that's why we have the oxygen room, because right at the end of some shows, then the conversation goes to another level, and the oxygen room allows us to do that, to continue the conversation. So I invite everyone to call that number, and actually you can start calling it now. Someone will be there to greet you. But this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we invite you to go to blacksummit.org and register for our annual event. Remember, tomorrow there's a summit share in Chicago, 3824 South Morgan, and there are other summit shares that are taking place. We invite you to go to blacksummit.org. My thanks to our callers tonight with your questions, and please join us in the Oxygen Room. We will be there. Reverend Liz will be there to continue this conversation. Reverend Liz, please come back another time. The hour is up. And do you have any closing remarks for the listeners who may not join us in the Oxygen Room?
I just want to say thanks for the young man. He was very, very, very informative. I loved his consciousness. And it's always good to talk with someone that has that type of spirit within them.
Great, great. And I didn't get his name either, but I know he's from New Jersey. I did hear that. He was from New Jersey. So thank you to all of you who called in and listened. We had a lot of listeners on the switchboard tonight, and I see that they are all moving into the Oxygen Room. So, Liz, let's us get off and
okay.
Call in that Oxygen Room number.
All right.
And good night to everyone. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Glenn. God bless everyone, and we will see you here next week for our Black History Show, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Good night.
Good night.